Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, David, for a warm welcome. And thank you to Michael and Enoch. That was awesome, by the way. Really appreciate that. I love that second song. I always have. The bridge, the chorus. And when you tag on, like, tremble to it, oh, man, it's awesome. Okay. My name is Johnny. It's a pleasure to be here. And hello, Victor, again. I've met Victor at Ryerson. So if you want to know who I am, like really who I am, you can ask Victor, because he knows me way back when I wasn't a pastor. So that's fun. Wanted to ask some of us, are we going through Lent still? Do we do Lent here? Yeah, some of us. Okay, yeah, maybe. That's fine. Normally for Holy Week, I like to preach on the triumphal entry, right? But today, I really wanted to preach on one of my favorite passages. And it talks about Mary preparing Jesus for burial. And in her way, she is offering her worship to him. And so in the same way, I'd like to challenge us to consider what we are offering Jesus today. Now, before we begin, I do have to ask if we're on the same page as to what the word fragrant means. So there will be three items on the screen, and you can tell me if you think these items are fragrant or not, all right? So the first item will be, do I have to turn this on? Yes, oh, I do. On the side, there we go, excellent. Okay, anyway, fresh baked bread, is that fragrant or foul? Who thinks it's fragrant, hands up. Okay, some of us may not enjoy the freshly baked bread, that's fine. What about your own shampoo? Do you think your own shampoo is fragrant or is it foul? Now, at this point, most of us will raise our hands to say that it is fragrant, yes? Okay, and if you are smelling something foul, that just means you have to wash your hair. And don't tell me how your neighbor's hair smells like. That's for them. Now, what if the fragrant shampoo that you have, some of us might have fruit shampoo, right? Like, I don't know, orange, pomegranate, lavender, I don't know. But what if that scent of your shampoo now is no longer just lavender, it is now durian. Is that a fragrant? Yes, hands up if you think it's fragrant. Hands up if you think it's foul. If you are on that camp, then you are welcome in my home. In the other camp, you're welcome to my garage, where you can open your durian and enjoy it there. Now, I love that in this body, we do have a little disagreement, and that's perfectly fine. We disagree on what durian smells like, fragrant or foul. But there is no, absolutely no argument as to how this ointment smelled. Because in that room, anybody that was there when Mary broke that flask and the perfume went into the air, everyone took notice. They took a sniff of it and turned. And they noticed that smell. It filled the air. It filled the entire room so much that you can't help but smell it. And so I wonder, when we are offering our fragrance to the Lord, is it a fragrant offering? While he, that was Jesus, was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, as one does for dinner, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. For you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But she will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. May I just pray very quickly. God, we thank you for the word, and we thank you that you are good and you are sovereign over all. Thank you for your victory over death, victory over sin. And yes, as we enter into Holy Week, God, I pray the words that are spoken today and the acts that we do for one another will be honoring to you. It will be a fragrant offering to you, an act of worship to you. But God, I pray now your spirit be with us, that you will open our hearts and minds and ears and receive you fully, unencumbered. And God, we ask for you and your presence here today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I will spend, well, this will be a traditional three-point sermon. However, I will spend most of my time on the first and second, and on the third, I will just do a short encouragement. Is that okay with us? Yes, excellent. Firstly, why would she do such a thing? Why would someone go to someone's dinner time and pour perfume on them? Imagine you were at dinner last night. Where were you? Were you at home? Yes? Okay, no. Were we eating out? I miss eating out. I really do. But I have four kids now, so it's become a luxury more than anything. But imagine someone, while you were having dinner, wherever you were last night, someone came up to you and decided to throw soup at your head. Even if it was very delicious soup, that would be incredibly awkward. You would ask them, why are you doing this? Where's the camera? Is this a prank, bro? However, what we do know is, from this passage, Mary did this to anoint Jesus, and she did this as an act of worship. But why? Why? She was in Bethany, as was he. Bethany, her hometown, of course, at the house of Simon the leper. Simon, at that specific time, may not have been a leper. Could have been before, could have been after. However, she came and anointed him on the head. In other passages, like in, I'm going to see this here. Yes, Matthew, we see that she does the same thing. In John chapter 12, she anoints the feet of Jesus. So whether heads, shoulders, feet, or toes, what she did was an act of worship. But this begs the question, why? And who is Jesus to her and who is Jesus to us, especially as we enter into Holy Week? Is Jesus just a rabbi? Is Jesus just a teacher to her? Luke 10 records Mary sitting at the Lord's feet when she should have been doing all sorts of stuff to make sure that the guest feels hospitable. Yet she sat at his feet as a disciple would. In John chapter 20, when Mary seeing the resurrected Jesus, the first time she sees the resurrected Jesus, surely she would call him by something other than rabbi. But no, that's actually what she calls him the minute she sees the resurrected Jesus. She calls him rabbi. And so the question is, yes, she knows that Jesus is a rabbi, but is Jesus our rabbi? Is he our teacher? Are we learning from him? What are we learning from him these days? I am learning about waiting. I don't know about you. Is anyone learning about waiting and patience? That is one of the hardest lessons to learn. If you are in that season, hang on, because the only way to learn patience is to be patient. It will be a long lesson, friends, but he is sovereign. He will do good. He is for you. Take hold on that. Now, not only is he just rabbi, is he a loved one? John reminds us that Jesus absolutely was a loved one. In fact, it does literally say in John 11, now Jesus loved, agaped Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So we see this to be true, yes. And in the same way, is Jesus our loved one? I'm going to pause for a second and allow us a time to reflect. Do we love Jesus? For surely he loved us. He loved us to the point of pouring out his life for us. And in this act of worship that Mary had as she poured out this ointment for him, surely we know he has poured out his life for us. How deep our Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. Where are we in our love of Christ? And finally, of course, Jesus, was he just a miracle worker? We know that in Luke 8, it mentions a Mary Magdalene that had been healed from how many demons? 7. Imagine for a second, if you will, you had somebody in your ear all day long I don't know if you have a specific person in mind right now as I do this. You may have. This person is always on you, night and day, talking about something, trying to just tell you, do this, do that, nagging you. You're not worth it. This is horrible. You need to do better. Now, not only do you have one person doing that, now you have two. And they keep on doing that. You might find yourself in that situation. You may, okay? Now imagine that three times, now four times, now five, six, seven. Imagine having seven of these people night and day on your case about something or other, hurting you, harming you. How would your life be? And all of a sudden, when you have all of that for your entire, well, maybe not your entire life, but you have that for a very long time, and all of a sudden you come to Jesus, and Jesus just, you are healed. You now have peace once again. How life-changing would that be? How many of us need a little more of that from Jesus this week? How many of us need to come before Jesus this week and ask him for peace? How many of us going through this hard time where we need more than just a miracle? We need the person of Jesus, the presence of Jesus in our lives. Ask and you shall receive, for he is good. And not only that, not only did that happen, Jesus, miracle worker, when Lazarus, Mary's own brother, was dead for 4 days, knowing full well that he was dead for 4 days, Jesus still came. Jesus knew that if you roll that stone away from the tomb, a foul stench will come out. But from the foul stench of death, Jesus came, turned that foul stench of death into life, into fragrant life, into a life of fragrant renewal, of love, of compassion, of miraculous wonder. And the only person who could do that was Jesus. And not only did he raise Lazarus, he raised himself. No other rabbi, nor loved one, nor miracle worker could have done that. Only Jesus could. And in our lives, friends, only Jesus can still continue to do these things for us. So yes, he is all of that. Why wouldn't she bring her offering? How couldn't she bring all that she had to the one who was all to her? And so, friends, in this act of worship, she did what she could. How about us, friends? We might be going through a season where we need to be resurrected. We need to have life come into our hearts, not just life, abundant life. But that is what Jesus offers us, those who come to him and ask of him, who receive from him. So no matter what you're going through right now, allow his love to lift you up, friends. Allow him to enter into your hearts. Allow him to empower, enable, and mobilize you into becoming not just loved ones, not just those who serve him, but to those who serve his neighbors as well. One last detail I love about this. When she broke the flask, and most of us know this, when you break something like a flask, you can't put it back together. The entire contents of that flask had to be dumped out. We know how much this flask cost. We know also that when you break this flask, you cannot bring it back. You cannot pour things back in. So imagine you've broken this over Jesus' head. You can't scoop it back and be like, let me save the remainder back into this jar so I can save it for another time. No, her offering to Jesus was completely poured out. Friends, when we are worshiping our Lord and Savior, especially in this Holy Week, can we, shall we give him all our offering, all our worship, and not be very frugal about it? Can we pour it all for the one who has poured it all for us, no matter what the cost was? Now, friends, we know how much it cost, right? We know how much it cost. And thank you, David, for reading the other version, because it does tell us exactly how much it cost. But let's pretend like we don't know how much it costs, but we do. Right, because and that's the thing. Some of us, a year's salary could be the minimum, or it could be a lot. It's hard for us to like think about, oh well, I don't make that much as a pastor, right? Like I can only imagine what other people make, and that's awesome. I have a very good friend, he's very generous, he makes a lot, but he's very generous, and I love that about him. But that's the thing. Imagine though, you had a beverage in your hand. imagine that beverage was something pretty fancy, right? Like how much how shall I say this? What was the most expensive beverage you've ever had in your hand at one point? Okay, think about it. Champagne. It could be champagne. How much was the champagne, would you wager? $300. Ooh, that's good. Okay, so imagine you had a $300 bottle of champagne and your job was to pour it out for everyone, okay? Because you're celebrating, you're toasting to something. Imagine though, the first thing that happens is you try to pour it, but you drop the whole bottle, right? And everyone's looking at you like, wow, what are you doing? How clumsy are you? Oh, it's wasted. What a waste. I think that's a natural reaction, yeah? Okay, but imagine you had something worth your year's salary. I had to look up a drink that would be worth my salary. It's a lot compared to, you know, regular $300 bottle. But imagine you had that year's salary of bottle in your hand. Now, you were to pour this bottle. I don't know how much it is. It could buy a car for all we know. But imagine you had this and you had to share it with people or you could keep it or whatever, right? But you'd pour it out and you drop it. What would the reaction be? You wasted it because you could have saved it. You could have invested in it. You could have like handed it down to your generations after you. You could have done so much with it. And surely you could have sold it and given it to the poor. But you know what? You broke it and you can't keep it anymore. Now it's wasted. What a waste. Surely we would have the same reaction. And that is indeed what happened. However, there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? Fair enough. Scripture is very clear about being good stewards. But in John 12, it tells us why. Why were they so indignant? Judas Iscariot said in John 12, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So his ulterior motive was, hey, you should have sold that so that you can take the 300 denarii, put it in this money bag that was going to go to the poor. But secretly, he would be the one taking it for himself. When we see it in this way, things change completely. That was not a fragrant offering at all then from Judas, was it? That was absolutely foul. And absolutely unacceptable. But from this short verse, may I offer this, as followers of Christ, and especially as we are heading into Holy Week, two things to be aware of. Once again, are we holding back our worship from the Lord? For all that he has done for us this week, heading into this week, for all the things he has done for our lives, are we holding back? Worse, are we robbing him like Judas is robbing from this money bag? Now, I know we're not actively robbing God, but just to remind ourselves, Malachi does say that if we are withholding and we're not giving all of the worship that we and the offering that we ought to be, we might as well be robbing God. So, I'm not going to judge anybody here for that, but at the same time, number two, we shouldn't be very judgmental on other people and what they are offering to the Lord, right? When Mary brings this very expensive perfume to the Lord, do you think that she cared about what other people thought? No, she did this for the Lord. So why is other people looking at her, making judgments on what she is offering to the Lord? Friends, for what it's worth, pun intended, please, know that judgmentalism isn't going to get you very far at all. And I've seen a lot of churches split because of it. What people are offering to the Lord, they are doing what they can. If they are not offering what they can, still at the same time, you don't need to say nothing. That's their relationship with God. What we should focus on is where our worship to the Lord is, especially this week heading into Easter. Amazing. She has done what she could. Does that mean, though, she has given 1 year's salary? Does that mean that we have to do the same? Does it mean that we have to give one whole year's salary to a missionary or to this church or to anybody else right now? Must we sell our possessions, a year's worth, and give to the poor? If we're being honest, that's really not the point. It doesn't matter if it's 30 denarii. It doesn't matter if it's 300 denarii. It doesn't matter if it's 3,000 denarii. We do what we can, for she has done what she could, and Jesus accepted it as a wonderful offering. Jesus accepted her offering for what it was. This week, I trust that whatever you are bringing before him, in your quiet time, in your prayers, in your influence, may you honor him with what you could. Again, don't make it feel like, oh, I must do this, I must do that. No, the Lord loves a joyful giver, right? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And what I love about this is, she did what she could, and God says something about her, eh? Jesus says something very special about her, that he doesn't say this to nobody. This was absolutely significant. What does he say to her? Well, he says this: truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Question, friends. When you heard the gospel for the first time, was Mary's name mentioned? No. When we do our evangelistic outreaches and we tell people about the gospel, whether you're using a tract or whether you're using like the four-step thing, which is what happened to me when I went to church, the pastor's wife at the time did the tract, did the four-step thing, and I was like, yeah, I want to believe in it. Never once did she mention Mary at all. Isn't that interesting? So why would Jesus say that wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her? Does it mean that we've missed something? I don't think that's what the problem is, right? That's not truly what it is. What she did was what she could. And in many ways, she gave her possibly life savings. She gave possibly her savings for her marriage, and she gave it to Jesus, and she did what she could. And so for us, what we do with what we can has a direct impact on how the gospel message is portrayed. Let me just step back here and tell us a little story. I know of a very good family who invests a lot of time, not money, a lot of time into their neighbors. They made it their absolute, their passion, okay? They don't make a lot, but their passion is to make their neighbors know about Jesus. And the way they did that was they would shovel the neighbors' driveways. They would bring back the recycling bins. They had kids, and so they would always have their home be an open space. Bring your friends. Bring them all in. Doesn't matter. We have snacks. We don't have a lot of snacks, but whatever we got, you guys can have. And so they'd come, and like the dad would be like, there's too many kids now. Like, you got to stop this. The mom's like, no, we are doing this because we want to love our neighbors. And there was these flaming hot Cheetos that these kids absolutely loved. And it's not cheap. So they kept buying it. And the guy's like, no, this is insane. Why are we doing this? Not only are we just buying snacks for them, we're not getting any. But they kept on investing in the neighbors anyway. Sure enough, as the kids started growing a little older, they started inviting them into things like VBSs. And these kids who are non-church, they'd be like, sure, we're friends. And the best part was the parents of those kids, they're like, well, you've loved on our kids so much, how can we say no? You're shoveling our driveway, how can we say no? Plus, this VBS is only $25. Come on, what a deal, right? So what they did was they had built all these relationships. They had sowed, or they had done their work, right? They're sowing seeds. And eventually some of these kids that are non-church started going to VBS. And eventually some of them started raising their hands at the altar call. Now you tell me, was it worth it? Was it worth the 10 bags of hot Cheetos? Was it worth their time? Yes, absolutely. And it wasn't the fact that they told them about this person named Mary. No, it was the fact that they embodied what it meant to be love, the lovers of God. They embodied what it meant to be, to be those who followed Jesus, those who gave their offering, their full, beautiful, fragrant offering, not just to God, but to their neighbors around them. And so my challenge to us is this. Even though we may not tell people about Mary, the things that we do and the way that we walk and the way that we act absolutely have a profound impact on those around us. That is absolutely the best way to tell of the gospel. If you can't say it, show it. If you can't do it with words, do it with deeds. But the challenge for us this week is this. What can we do with our currency, whether it is financial, whether it is our time, or whether it is our influence? You know who you have influence over. You know there are friends that if you ask, they will come to Easter service. Because you tell them, there's really only two times in the entire year you must come to church. If you had to pick one, you gotta pick Easter. There is no Christmas without the resurrection. You bring him to Easter service. What currency do you have that you need to invest in for this world? This is the encouragement to us. She who gave everything to Jesus for the one who gave it all for us, what shall we offer? Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Church, may you continue walking in love as a fragrant offering to the Lord. And for this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Please, friends, continue offering your love to one another as well. Not just to the Lord, but to one another and to your neighbors, that they might taste and see how good God is. For you know he has done good to you. You know that he has given his life for you. May you endeavor to do the same for others, for we are the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. That means there are some that are being saved, there are some that are not going to be saved. Regardless of whether we think people are being saved or regardless of whether we think this person will never be saved, it doesn't matter, because regardless of what we think, we are the aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ. Will we be a fragrant aroma, or will we be a foul one? As we continue in our season, in our Holy Week, friends, may I pray to end this message and ask the Lord God to help us to be a fragrant offering. Heavenly Father, you alone are worthy. Your name is above all names. And there are going to be times where we are afraid. There are times where we may not want to. But out of the love that you have poured out for us, Father, may we receive that and may it transform our lives, that we might now pour out our love for you, for those around us, that they may come and see and taste that you are good, that you are the resurrected Lord, that with you all things are possible. And with you, it's not a very beautiful world at all. But Father, may you enter into our lives and help us to receive this message of hope, of encouragement. May we go into the world to do for this world as you have done for us. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you are. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.